The FAA has taken some steps to help protect its air traffic control systems and other computer systems from hackers and cyber criminals, but there's still a lot of work to be done. That's according to a new report from the Government Accountability Office. Some of the weaknesses were new, like identifying and authenticating users. Others date back years. Here with more on what the report found is Greg Wilshusen. He's Director of Information Security Issues at the GAO. Greg, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Tom. It's good to be here.
All right. So in reading between the lines of this particular report, or at least the summary of it, I get the sense that there's some pretty serious weaknesses here for a system that has huge national security implications.
Indeed, Tom, this is a highly critical system for the transportation, safe and efficient operation of our national airspace system. And we identified vulnerabilities in just about every type of security control that we examined during our review.
I guess maybe people would be surprised that the national airspace systems are not somehow air-gapped from the rest of the FAA's or from the internet, but not the case anymore, huh?
Well, we found that there was excessive interconnections between the NAS systems, as it's known, as National Airspace Systems, and the mission support systems that are not part of the operational environment. And anytime you have excessive connections between less secure systems and more secure systems, it creates opportunities for compromise.
So in many ways, this is parallel to the problem that we see in other areas of, like, utilities, where, say, the electrical grid operational networks are increasingly connected to the business systems of the operators and therefore to the internet.
That's correct. And indeed, you know, the loss of the remote or the increase ability to remotely access systems, which were previously isolated, certainly increases the opportunities for new vectors, if you will, or pathways to gain access to those systems. And if those systems aren't adequately protected, you're increasing the risk of those systems. And that's what we found with the air traffic control systems that we reviewed. We identified a number of significant vulnerabilities in, as you mentioned, procedures for identifying and authenticating users, for not encrypting sensitive data, and their auditing and monitoring capabilities were limited on these systems. And just as you mentioned, the shortcomings in the boundary protection controls significantly increased the risk associated with those vulnerabilities.
Well, let's talk about users for a minute, because FAA has a lot of contractors to accessing systems, and we know what last year what one contractor did physically to one of its systems out there in Aurora, Illinois, and really caused pretty bad havoc and expense to repair the damage that he intentionally did, fires. So it seems like authentication and tracking what contractor or other non-FAA staff users would be really critical.
Yes, it is. And indeed, anytime you have a heavy reliance on the contractors, it's important that you make sure that your contractors are appropriately trained and that their activities are appropriately monitored. And we found, for example, that both employees and contractors who had significant security responsibilities were not always receiving the training that is required for those positions. We also found that FAA's ability to audit and monitor and have visibility into its systems for detecting and responding to security incidents was very limited as well. And that, again, increased the risk that they may not be able to detect or respond to security incidents.
Because isn't continuous monitoring and this kind of diagnostics and mitigation regime supposed to be something that all federal agencies are getting up to speed with?
Well, that is true, and it has the promise, if it's effectively designed and implemented, to help agencies better protect their systems. But one thing, you know, that what it does identify are typically a number of vulnerabilities associated with the configuration and access permissions to those systems. But once you identify those, agencies still need to act in order to take corrective actions to mitigate those vulnerabilities. And we found that at FAA on this review that it was delayed many times in terms of taking remedial actions. And that just allowed certain vulnerabilities to continue to exist for an extended period of time.
Now, just backing up a level here, the FAA has its air traffic control organization, and it also has its administrative and engineering functions that are separate, and they have separate chief information officers for those different columns, if you will, within FAA. Is that part of the problem? Is there no one taking a unified view of this on top of the entire agency?
You're absolutely correct, Tom. That's what we found is one of the underlying causes for the weaknesses with these systems, is that FAA had not yet established an integration or an integrated organizational-wide approach to managing this information security risk. We found that, for example, it had not clearly and consistently identified and defined the roles and responsibilities of these different parties that you mentioned. And we found in discussing with their roles and responsibilities among those parties that there was a number of disagreements over who was responsible for performing what type of security activity.
Now, you do say that they've established a cybersecurity steering committee to provide agency-wide risk management function, but it sounds like it's not really up and running yet and doing much.
That's right. It's also a key party was not included in the composition of that council, and that's one of the steps that hopefully FAA will improve on and actively pursue to ensure the better security over these systems.
And what about the boundary controls? That sounds like a piece of software that keeps, say, the systems for controlling aircraft separate from administrative systems and so forth. Does that have a lot of that in the FAA?
Right. That it would include firewalls, routers, and other appliances as well as software that helps to restrict and control access or interconnections between those types of systems. And we found that there were excessive connections between the less secure administrative systems and the systems requiring additional security related to the operations of the national airspace.
We're speaking with Greg Wilshusen. He's the Director of Information Security Issues at the GAO. And so what are the implications of this? What could happen in the worst-case scenario the way the setup is now?
Well, there's certainly an increased and unnecessary risk that attackers could potentially compromise mission-critical air traffic control systems. They could possibly gain access and compromise user accounts, use that to intercept, view, or modify transmitted data, or maybe make changes, unauthorized changes to software programs. One of the other controls that we found was lacking is that FAA did not consistently assure that changes to its software programs were being performed in accordance with its policies on change management. And that potentially could create problems if software changes aren't adequately tested, approved, and implemented.
I mean, I'm just imagining a scenario here, and it's probably less that someone would get in there and try to make planes ram into each other. But perhaps in the investigation of a near incident, which the FAA is pretty rigorous about, someone could alter data of what happened in an incident such that it would look different than what actually happened.
And that's a possibility. And another effect could be that through making changes to software programs or gaining unauthorized access, that it could cause a disruption in service of the National Aerospace System to where it may include air flight service may be disrupted. There is an example of this back in, I think, July of last year, sometime last year, out in Los Angeles, where it was a computer programming error occurred that brought down the system on the West Coast and caused significant flight delays because an aircraft flew at an altitude higher than what was expected from the program monitoring air traffic, and it caused it to basically crash. And so while this was not
the system, that is, not the plane.
Right, yeah. Yes, thank you. The system to crash, and that caused a number of flight delays. And while that was not the result of a cyber security incident, it was a programming error, it does show the effect that could happen if a cyber incident resulted in unauthorized changes to programs.
So somebody could make Snowmageddon in July in terms of its effect on the air traffic control space.
It's something that could, there's an unnecessary increased risk that could happen, yes.
All right, so what kind of reaction did you get from the agency?
Well, the agency was quite cooperative in the conduct of our review. We made a number of recommendations. And for example, we made 168 recommendations to address the weaknesses that we identified in the system's access controls and configuration management controls, as well as 17 other recommendations to address their information security programs and to establish an integrated organizational-wide approach to security. And FAA agreed with all of them.
All right. So when will you take the next look-see?
We will continue to work with FAA to monitor their implementation of our recommendation and mitigation of these weaknesses.
All right. Greg Wilshusen is the Director of Information Security Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure.